You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
Domestic resource mobilization is basically the resources that are mobilized within the country. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, aid as an incoming resource will also be, you know, go into the public budget. But as I look at it, when you look at the resources that can be mobilized domestically, mm-hmm. it's primarily from either income taxes, you know, from taxing citizens, or from a value-added tax, you know, taxing trade goods and services, or from taxing exports and imports, or other types. It could be other types of fees as well, you know, especially at the local government level, you'll have market fees or yeah, stuff like that. So revenues that can be mobilized locally. It could also be revenues from the mineral sector, or oil, or whatever. So, and why is it particularly relevant? Well, of course, well, this is something that I have personally been interested in, you know, since I started studying political science. Actually, you read these theories about how, you know, tax systems developed in Europe in connection with war, in particular, you know, as European big powers went into war with each other, they needed resources. So how did they get them? Well, you know, they taxed, basically they started taxing capitalists, and then other, you know, the kind of monies or resources that were there in order to wage war, you know, to mobilize an army and so on, and that's actually how, you know, European states and economies developed, were in this kind of war making, you know, taxing the citizens, because then they would require, you know, influence. Of course, they would want to know what, you know, the money was spent for, you know. So capitalists in England, that was the first parliament, was simply because they were taxed, so they wanted representation, you know. So it has, you know, such an interesting history. And then kind of paralleling that to the least developing countries today, and, you know, looking at the dynamics and what happens, because it's actually, so at the core of state building is the ability to actually raise revenues and to, you know, interact, state-society interactions, you know. So it's very, if you want to understand how the states develop, you have to understand the tax system. So that's, you know, at the very core of it, you know. But then, of course, there's the whole aid dependence debate, and why it's really important to raise resources yourself if you want to become less dependent of external donors. So that's another issue of it. And then, of course, there's the whole notion of how you gotta understand the tax systems in order to really understand expenditure policies as well, which is this project is very much about. So that was trying to tell it very briefly, but it's a very huge debate in, you know, political sociology, macro sociology, political science history, you know, the history of state making and tax states. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Now, could you give me some examples of the challenges that Uganda faces at the moment for increasing public revenues? What kind of challenges, what kind of difficulties does Uganda currently face?
The challenges that Uganda face in order to mobilize revenues? Well, Uganda faces a lot of challenges. I remember when I first started, you know, doing research on revenues in Uganda, it was very much the local government revenues, because I found it striking how the ability of local governments to collect the local revenues, what was called the personal graduated tax, differed so much, you know. Some local governments weren't able to almost collect anything, while others really collected a lot. So that was a previous study that I did. But in connection with that, there was a whole debate about whether you should continue to have this personal graduated tax, which was, it was an attempt to tax, you know, the common citizen, the informal sector, the farmer, you know, by assessing, you know, the valuables, chicken, banana trees, whatever, and then trying to say, well, to assess, you know, how much income would the farmer get from this, and then how much would you tax it. So it wasn't really that much money compared to the formal sector income taxes, but it was a source of income for the local government. But they abolished this tax in 2005, which I found was a pity, because some local governments actually did achieve, you know, were able to do initiatives that were good for the local communities with this money. But they abolished it because it was very unpopular, and there was a lot of repression in the way they collected the tax. And the president, you know, thought it was a good way to win elections, you know, to promise to abolish the tax. So actually, if you have democracy before you have a functioning tax system, that's what can happen, you know. And of course it happens. Our previous government in Denmark said, well, we won't raise taxes at all. So it's a, you know, issue in many election campaigns. But in Uganda, where there was no really existing tax system that actually worked, it was a pity that it had that effect, I think. So I thought what was fascinating with it was that, you know, the president then said, well, we will compensate local governments through the development funds, which were, you know, donor financed. So it was actually a case of, you know, the other way around, becoming more aid dependent because of the abolishment of a local tax. So what you see now in Uganda is, you know, this increased pressure on the public budget, not just from the abolishment of this tax, but simply because of a government that needs political financing in a lot of ways. So, and they often use, you know, public finances to do that, you know, to buy political legitimacy, so to speak. And donors are reacting to that by cutting general budget support. At the same time, there has been an increase in local revenue in terms of, you know, the economy growing, but they aren't really collecting a whole lot of tax, only like around 12% of GDP, which compared to the other countries in this project is not a lot. It's about the same level as Guatemala and less than in Zimbabwe and Bolivia, I would say. So with not that much more revenue coming in, and with donors cutting budgets and other sources of financing, like for instance Gaddafi would be funding, you know, things, and that source also died out. So they're really under pressure financially. So that, you know, it will be interesting to see how they handle that. And then oil has been found now, you know, and whether that will, you know, contribute to how and in which way that will be mobilized is also a big issue. So in that sense, you know, to see how the government handles this increased budgetary pressure will be interesting, and to see whether, you know, it will benefit citizens or not, you know, which I'm afraid is not really what we're seeing indicators of right now.
Okay. Mm. Great, thank you very much. One more question. Mm. What do you expect from the project, and what do you find innovative about this project?
I think what I find innovative about the project is the fact that it's based on, you know, deep qualitative case studies that can, you know, give unique cases, but at the same time there is this potential for drawing out patterns that we can, you know, call cross-country comparisons. So that combination is really good. And thematically, I think we simply need to know more about how sources of revenue are linked to what happens policy-wise. You know, is it, you know, maybe there's just a few important taxpayers and they have all the influence and people want benefits in terms of social policies. Or maybe, you know, other political dynamics play a big role, like elections. And in order to get, you know, elected, you have to deliver some things for all, you know. So that kind of connection, sources of revenue to social policy, I think there's still a lack of knowledge there. So I think in that way it will contribute, hopefully, a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, it certainly has the potential to do so.
Check out our other podcasts available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unris.org. Thank you for listening.